October 9th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. We'll go through chapter 14 and verse 10. In chapter 12, we'll read about perplexity. Why do the wicked prosper? Is asked not only by Jeremiah and Asaph, but also by many believers who suffer because of their faithfulness to God. The wicked treated Jeremiah like a sacrificial lamb, but he wanted God to slaughter them. Now, would that have solved the problem? We'll read about perspective. God's answer helped to prepare his servant for the trials ahead. Serving God is a blessed privilege, but it's also a difficult task, and it gets more and more difficult. Jeremiah would go from racing with men to racing with horses, from a land of peace to the thickets of the Jordan. This is the only way we can mature in life and service. We'll read about plunder. The people depended on the temple, but God had forsaken it. The enemy was about to come like vultures eating a corpse, or strangers tramping down a vineyard or a garden. We'll read about the promise. God chastens, but his compassions do not fail. He promised to judge the invading nations and one day free Judah from her exile and bring her back to her land, and he kept his promise. The prophet asked for explanations, but God met his need by giving him promises. See, when you cannot explain God's ways, you can still trust his promises. And in chapter 13, we see Jeremiah sometimes preached object lesson sermons, parables in action using familiar things, like our Lord's parables. They got the attention of the people and awakened the interest of the indifferent. There was the sash. It's probably a part of the priestly garments, which would make it especially holy. As long as the people clung to God in humble obedience, he was glorified. When they defiled themselves in pride, they became ruined and useless, like the sash under the rock. Too proud to repent, Judah ended up in the darkness. Now the bottles represented the leaders and the people who were all empty of spiritual life. God would fill them with drunkenness, which symbolizes judgment. Then he would smash the bottles and show no pity. The flock is a familiar picture of God's people. Their leaders were to be like loving shepherds. Instead, they were selfish hirelings. The sheep would be taken to slaughter by the invaders. And the Ethiopian and the leopard, as we shall see, were reminders that Judah's sin was deeper than the skin and could not easily be removed by some kind of superficial means. Disobedience was such a habit with the people that it was part of their very nature. Useless, broken, and slaughtered because of sin too deep to be removed. Those are the sad consequences of pride and disobedience. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. October 9th, Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1, through chapter 14, verse 10. Lord, you always give me, Jeremiah, justice when I bring a case before you. Now, let me bring you this complaint. Why are the wicked so prosperous? Why are evil people so happy? You have planted them, and they have taken root and prospered. Your name is on their lips, but in their hearts they give you no credit at all. But as for me, Lord, you know my heart. You see me and test my thoughts. Drag these people away like helpless sheep to be butchered. Set them aside to be slaughtered. How long must this land weep? Even the grass in the fields has withered. The wild animals and birds have disappeared because of the evil in the land. Yet the people say, the Lord won't do anything. Then the Lord replied to me, if racing against mere men makes you tired, how will you race against horses? If you stumble and fall on open ground, what will you do in the thickets near the Jordan? Even your own brothers, members of your own family, have turned on you. They have plotted, raising a cry against you. Do not trust them, no matter how pleasantly they speak. I have abandoned my people, my special possession. I have surrendered my dearest ones to their enemies. My chosen people have roared at me like a lion of the forest. So I have treated them as though I hated them. My chosen people have become as disgusting to me as a vulture, and indeed they are surrounded by vultures. bring on the wild beasts to pick their corpses clean. Many rulers have ravaged my vineyard, trampling down the vines and turning all its beauty into a barren wilderness. They have made it an empty wasteland. I hear its mournful cry. The whole land is desolate, and no one even cares. Destroying armies plunder the land. The sword of the Lord kills people from one end of the nation to the other. No one will escape. My people have planted wheat, but are harvesting thorns. They have worked hard, but it has done them no good. They will harvest a crop of shame, for the fierce anger of the Lord is upon them. Now this is what the Lord says. As for all the evil nations reaching out for the inheritance I gave my people Israel, I will uproot them from their lands just as Judah will be uprooted from hers. But afterward, I will return and have compassion on all of them. I will bring them home to their own lands again, each nation to its own inheritance. And if these nations quickly learn the ways of my people, and if they learn to swear by my name, saying, "As surely as the Lord lives," just as they taught my people to swear by the name of Baal, then they will be given a place among my people. But any nation who refuses to obey me will be uprooted and destroyed. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is what the Lord said to me. Go and buy a linen belt and put it around your waist, but do not wash it. So I bought the belt as the Lord directed me and put it around my waist. Then the Lord gave me another message. Take the linen belt you are wearing and go to the Euphrates River. Hide it there in a hole in the rocks. So I went and hid it at the Euphrates as the Lord had instructed me. A long time afterward, the Lord said to me, "Go back to the Euphrates and get the linen belt that I told you to hide there." So I went to the Euphrates and dug it out of the hole where I had hidden it. But now it was mildewed and falling apart. The belt was useless. Then I received this message from the Lord. The Lord says, "This illustrates how I will rot away the pride of Judah and Jerusalem. These wicked people refuse to listen to me. They stubbornly follow their own desires and worship idols. Therefore, they will become like this linen belt, good for nothing. As a belt clings to a person's waist, so I created Judah and Israel to cling to me," says the Lord. "They were to be my people, my pride, my glory, and honor to my name. But they would not listen to me. So tell them, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'All your wineskins will be full of wine.' And they will reply, 'Of course, you don't need to tell us how prosperous we will be.' Then tell them, 'No, this is what the Lord means. I will make everyone in this land so confused that they will seem drunk, from the king sitting on David's throne, and from the priests and the prophets, right on down to the common people. I will smash them one against the other, even parents against children,' says the Lord. I will not let my pity or mercy or compassion keep me from destroying them. Listen, do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before it is too late. Acknowledge him before he brings darkness upon you, causing you to stumble and fall on the dark mountains. For then, when you look for light, you will find only terrible darkness. And if you still refuse to listen, I will weep alone because of your pride. My eyes will overflow with tears because the Lord's flock will be led away into exile. Say to the king and his mother, 'Come down from your thrones and sit in the dust, for your gracious crowns will soon be snatched from your heads. The towns of the Negev will close their gates, and no one will be able to open them. The people of Judah will be taken away as captives. They will all be carried into exile. See the armies marching down from the north? Where is your flock, your beautiful flock, that he gave you to care for? How will you feel when the Lord sets your foreign allies over you as rulers? You will writhe in pain like a woman giving birth. You may ask yourself, 'Why is all this happening to me?' It is because of your many sins. That is why you've been raped and destroyed by invading armies. Can an Ethiopian change the color of his skin? Can a leopard take away its spots? Neither can you start doing good, for you always do evil. I will scatter you, just as chaff is scattered by the winds blowing in from the desert. This is your allotment, that which is due you, says the Lord. I have measured it out especially for you, because you have forgotten me and put your trust in false gods. I myself will expose you to shame. I am keenly aware of your adultery and lust, and your abominable idol worship out in the fields and on the hills. Your destruction is sure, Jerusalem. How long will it be before you are pure? This message came to Jeremiah from the Lord, explaining why he was holding back the rain. Judah wilts. Her businesses have ground to a halt. All the people sit on the ground in mourning, and a great cry rises from Jerusalem. The nobles send servants to get water, but all the wells are dry. The servants return with empty pitchers, confused and desperate, covering their heads in grief. The ground is parched and cracked for lack of rain. The farmers are afraid. They too cover their heads. The deer abandons her newborn fawn because there is no grass. The wild donkeys stand on the bare hills, panting like thirsty jackals. They strain their eyes, looking for grass to eat, but there is none to be found. The people say, "Lord, our wickedness has caught up with us. We have sinned against you. So please, help us for the sake of your own reputation. O hope of Israel, our Savior in times of trouble, why are you like a stranger to us? Why are you like someone passing through the land, stopping only for the night? Are you also confused? Are you helpless to save us? You are right here among us, Lord. We are known as your people. Please don't abandon us now." So the Lord replies to his people, "You love to wander far from me and do not follow in my paths. Now, I will no longer accept you as my people. I will remember all your wickedness and will punish you for your sins." October 9th. Our reading in the New Testament today will be from the book of 1 Thessalonians 1:1 through 2:8. And we'll see that Paul's description of the believers in Thessalonica suggests that they typify a pretty ideal congregation. Ask yourself these questions. Are others thankful for me? See, Paul was grateful for their faith, hope, and love, and that these Christians and the Christian qualities they were showing reveal themselves in work, labor, and practice. Now, can others tell that we belong to God? Are they thankful for our spiritual growth? Is God's power seen in my life? This comes when you receive the Word of God by faith and allow the Spirit of God to minister to your heart. It also involves suffering for the Lord and letting Him give you His joy. And one final question here for you. Do I make it easier for others to talk about Jesus? Some believers are such poor examples as Christians that their lives give unbelievers an excuse for rejecting Christ. But the Thessalonian Christians made it easy for Paul to preach the gospel. Their testimony had gone before him and met him wherever he went. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the New Testament. October 9th, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 8. This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. It is written to the church in Thessalonica, "You who belong to God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, may His grace and peace be yours. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. As we talk to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and your continual anticipation of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that God loves you, dear brothers and sisters, and that He chose you to be His own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power, for the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know that the way we lived among you was further proof of the truth of our message. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit, in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. As a result, you yourselves became an example to all the Christians in Greece. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Greece. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they themselves keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the true and living God. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. You yourselves know, dear brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure. You know how badly we had been treated at Philippi just before we came to you, and how much we suffered there. Yet our God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly, even though we were surrounded by many who opposed us. So you can see that we were not preaching with any deceit or impure purposes or trickery. For we speak as messengers who have been approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He is the one who examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you very well know. And God is our witness that we were not just pretending to be your friends so you would give us money. As for praise, we have never asked for it from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands on you. But we were as gentle among you as a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we gave you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Psalm 79, verses 1 through 13. Once again, Asaph is lamenting the invasion of the enemy, and he had several concerns. Number one concern was God's inheritance. The temple was defiled, the city destroyed, and the people slain. God permitted these things to happen to his inheritance. Asaph confessed the sins of the nation and asked God to honor his name before the nations. Another concern was God's wrath. Asaph asserted, "Pour out your wrath, avenge our blood." Well, years later, that prayer was answered, and God punished Babylon for the way she treated Israel. And finally, his concern was for God's people. They are your servants and your saints, the sheep of your pasture, if you will. Care for them, Lord. Deliver them. Well, God did care for them, but he also chastened them so that they might learn to obey his will. When you want God to be harder on others than he is on you, well, it's time to start seeing your sins the way God sees them. Psalm 79, verses 1 through 13. A Psalm of Asaph. O God, pagan nations have conquered your land, your special possession. They have defiled your holy temple and made Jerusalem a heap of ruins. They have left the bodies of your servants as food for the birds of heaven. The flesh of your godly ones has become food for the wild animals. Blood has flowed like water all around Jerusalem. No one is left to bury the dead. We are mocked by our neighbors, an object of scorn and derision to those around us. O Lord, how long will you be angry with us? Forever? How long will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that refuse to recognize you, on kingdoms that do not call upon your name. For they have devoured your people Israel, making the land a desolate wilderness. Oh, do not hold us guilty for our former sins. Let your tender-hearted mercies quickly meet our needs, for we are brought low to the dust. Help us for the honor of your name. Oh, save us and forgive our sins for the sake of your name. Why should pagan nations be allowed to scoff, asking, "Where is their God?" Show us your vengeance against the nations, for they have spilled the blood of your servants. Listen to the moaning of the prisoners. Demonstrate your great power by saving those condemned to die. O Lord, take sevenfold vengeance on our neighbors for the scorn they have hurled at you. Then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will thank you forever and ever, praising your greatness from generation to generation. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. I walked by the field of a lazy person, the vineyard of one lacking sense. I saw that it was overgrown with thorns. It was covered with weeds, and its walls were broken down. Then, as I looked and thought about it, I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber.